Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The title of the message is The Resurrection Makes the Difference. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Lord, we're thankful for your word, and I pray for people today. Thank you for these good folks who've come, visitors who've come and moved here, visitors who are working here and live in a different part of our state, but they've come this morning. Some old-time friends and families that we haven't seen in a while who've moved away, and then our regular family, church family. And I ask that you would just speak to us today. We thank you, and we love you. Thank you for dying for our sins. Oh, thank you for paying the price that we could not pay. We thank you for enduring the shame of the cross and the agony. We thank you as we think of the crown of thorns. We thank you as they pluck the beard from your face. We thank you as we are reminded that they blindfolded you and buffeted your face. We thank you that your visage was more marred than that of any man. We thank you for your unconditional love, for your mercy, for your long-suffering, for your grace, for your forgiveness, for a changed direction and a changed life. And all of these things, we know every other doctrine hinges on the doctrine of the resurrection. And we thank you. In thy name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Look, if you would, at our text again. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth. And he tells them, he reminds him that he declared the gospel. I want to tell you something. That's what everybody in the world needs to hear. You know, the message from God. My mic is on. Well, we checked it, fellas, but it's dead now, so I'm sorry. So help us out. Hands up. We'll use this microphone for now. Let me just say that No matter where you're going, it doesn't matter. We've preached in Ireland. We've preached in China. We've preached in all through the world. And here in the States, we've been to the mission field up in Michigan. And up in Canada. And it doesn't matter. The message and the need is always the same. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understand, Paul is sharing with the church of Corinth. He says, I declared unto you the gospel. Now, not only does he say he declared it, but he defines it a little bit farther down, doesn't he? He says that I've preached unto you, and he says, and that I've preached, you've received. Remember those who heard the gospel, but because it wasn't mixed with faith, it yielded no results for them. And he tells them that they are standing on those truths. He says in verse 2 that you are saved. Can I tell you this? People don't get saved any other way but through the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus came and that he died on the cross for our sins. And he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. That and that alone is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my brother. You see, man has a real desire to want to add to the gospel, to the salvation plan. But he clarifies it here clearly, and he says that he's declared and he's preached the gospel. He says in verse 3, if you would, how he says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Then he gives the rest of the gospel in verse 4, and that he was buried and that he arose again, or that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. My friend, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there are those who want to add church membership and they want to help God out with salvation. But I want you to know this. There's nothing we can add to the gospel. There's nothing we can do to help ourselves to get saved. Salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. It's Jesus Christ enough and Jesus Christ alone. It's not whether we come and we join the church or if we take the sacraments or if we do humanitarian works and we want to build homes for the homeless and we want to feed the hungry. And those are good things, but I want you to know this. None of those things we do eradicate one sin that we've committed. How are our sins forgiven? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's on the cross of Calvary. And he specifies here clearly that he's declared the gospel, how in verse 3, Christ died, and verse 4, he was buried, and in verse 4, he rose again. Then he goes on to clarify about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he tells us, without the resurrection, our faith is vain, our preaching is vain, those who have died ahead of us, we'll never see them, they've perished, their faith was in vain. And he tells us that Jesus was seen, in verse 5, of Cephas or of Peter. He says he was seen of the 12. He says he was seen at one time above 500 brethren at once. Over 500 people were there when Jesus revealed himself after the death and burial and he was resurrected. He goes down to verse 7. He says he was seen of James. And then he says he was seen of all the apostles. And then he goes on to say that he was seen last of all by me. And he counts himself, Paul counts himself as the least of the apostles because he persecuted the church. But then in verse 11, he says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believed. Now, the Bible declares the truth about the resurrection. You see, if Jesus Christ was just a dead Jew in a borrowed tomb, he'd be like all the other would-be saviors. But I want to tell you something. He rose on that third day. Last year, we stood outside the empty tomb. And if I have your email address, I sent you an email early this morning with the pictures that we took there. It was a tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a borrowed tomb. And the Bible says he had hewn it out of stone. And there's a gate that's there in Israel now where you can't go inside of it. You can't step inside the tomb. But I took pictures of that, and I put my camera inside the bars and took pictures of it. I believe with all my heart that that is the tomb where Jesus lay. All that we read and all that we see is presented there from the Scriptures. And we see here that the Bible declares the truth of the resurrection. There is a resurrection, understand, of death. And there's a resurrection unto life. But all will be resurrected. No one, to surprise the atheist or the agnostic, no one spends eternity in the ground. The good news is this. There is the possibility of eternal life for all of us because of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead on that first Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday. You see, where we spend eternity will be determined by whether or not we truly believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Can I tell you this? You can't believe part of the gospel. You've got to believe all the gospel. Understand, it's not a fact that this good man came and he just died for us. It's not a fact that he came down and he did good things. I want to tell you, the Bible tells us he lived a perfect life. The Bible says there was no guile found in him. And the Bible tells us he died on the cross being tortured, being punished worse than any man ever. And yet he died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine. But listen to me, what separates him from everybody else is the third day. Death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. And we see here that it certainly makes a difference what we believe about the resurrection of Christ. He tells us in this passage that if I believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, his resurrection makes all the difference in eternity for you and for me. Three thoughts this morning. First of all, let me say the resurrection of Christ proves that his claims are true. The resurrection of Christ proves that his claims are true. Considered the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was constantly making claims that no good teacher would dare make unless he was a liar or a lunatic or was truly God. Jesus said, I am. And when he says, I am, he means all that is because of him. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the way to God. Jesus claimed to be God. In John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Adam was, I am. He says in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. In John chapter 10, verse 33, he said, the Jews answering him, saying, for a good work with stone, he says, for a good work we stoned thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. You see, the Jews believed he was guilty of blasphemy, equating himself equal with God. Let me tell you this. He wasn't just equal with God. He is God. You see, his resurrection proved that he was exactly who he said he was. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. I love this. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Understand, for the child of God, sleep or asleep is a metaphor for death. Because we're going to, as the Lord Jesus Christ rose, we're going to rise again as well. Last Sunday night, we baptized Mrs. Stewart and Jameson Gray. And Mrs. Stewart, she was had a little fear about her hair. And Jameson had a lot of fear about everything. I wasn't worried too much about Leanne, but I was a little bit concerned about Jameson. I was so proud that he went past his fear of water. And as they stood in the water, it represented the understanding that they recognized themselves sinners and cried out to God.
And as they are put under the water, it recognizes that they've been buried with Christ. As they come out of the water, they've been raised to newness of life. It's the first step of obedience to our Savior. It's an outward expression of an inward happening in our heart. I thank God for it. But I want you to know this. If He hadn't arisen, it would mean nothing. You see, we need to consider His claims. He says, I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the way. And consider the proofs of His claims. You see, again in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that sleep. And as He has been victorious over the grave and over sin and over death, friends, you and I too will follow suit if we've been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul said in his letter to the believers in Rome. In Rome chapter 1, verse 4, he says, and declare to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection clearly states and proves that Jesus is exactly who He said He was. He is the Son of God. He is God Almighty. So the resurrection of Christ proves that His claims are true. Secondly, they prove that His sacrifice was accepted. Notice the meaning of His death. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus Christ came to pay a debt that you and I could not pay. When we think of that servant in Matthew chapter 18 who owed the master so much that he couldn't pay it. The master turned and said, sell him and sell his wife and sell his family, his children into slavery. And maybe I can get some of that which I've lost back. That man fell down at the master's feet and began to weep and cry and said, I'll pay thee. Give me more time and I'll pay thee. But the master knew. He had no wherewithal to pay the debt that he owed. And He forgave him his debt. And I want you to know this. We were born in bondage. We were born the children of hell. There's somebody who will say, well, you know, he's got a good heart. The Bible tells us our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? Understand this. We have little children over in the nursery. They're precious. But they'll take a toy in the nursery and conk some other kid in the head with it. You don't have to teach them that. You don't have to teach your kids to lie, lying 101 and lying 102. Let me tell you something. It's a depraved nature that we have. Total depravity has affected our soul, our mind, and our spirit. And there's no way we can pay the debt. There's no way we can substitute and to meet that need. There's no way we can find our way to a sovereign God because we are in the miry clay, sinners, undone in our sins and transgressions. But there's one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. And He steps in. He grabs the hand of the sovereign God and He reaches down low in the deepest pit of the sinful man. And He reconciles us to God. It's not through our own works. It's not through our own ability. Anything I can do better than you has nothing to do with salvation. It's all what Jesus did on Calvary. We see here that the resurrection of Christ proves that His claims are true and proves that His sacrifice was accepted. Again, in Mark 10, 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to give His life a ransom for many. In John 10, verse 15, the Bible says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus came not to live. He came here to die. He didn't come here to set up His kingdom. He came here to be that spotless lamb. The Lamb of God is what John the Baptist called Him. To give His life that sins could be paid for, our sins. He laid down His life for the sheep. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible says, who was delivered of our offenses. Can I tell you something? If you're here, you're not saved today, you are an offense to God. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Doesn't mean the wrath of God is going to be on him one day. You've got the wrath of God on you right now. And one day that wrath of God will fall because you are undone in your sins and your iniquities and your transgressions. And we see here clearly that Jesus came to pay for our sins. He came, he says, to deliver us from our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Our sins separates us from God. The scripture tells us that the consequences of sin is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came and he willingly went to the cross to take our place. Jesus would offer an acceptable sacrifice for sin as our substitute. As our substitute. Understand, if you read the Bible, you'll find that he took the cross of Barabbas. But let me tell you something. We're all Barabbas. Notice, his sacrifice was accepted. We see the meaning of his death, but notice the meaning of his resurrection. In raising Christ, God the Father was publicly declaring that his Son had satisfied divine justice and had paid the price for our sins. Understand this. When Jesus rose the third day, he won the war for all of us. For all of us. I can't understand people who want to add to it. I can understand that people may teach that, but I want you to know this. It's Jesus only. It's not, the gospel is Jesus died, buried, and resurrected. And for some reason, there's some of us that just want to feel better about it if we try to do something. But let me tell you something. Our works are to no avail. And the Bible tells us clearly that we cannot save ourselves by what we do. You see, the Son, Jesus Christ, had satisfied the divine justice and had paid our price on Calvary. Death, sin, hell, and Satan have no authority over Christ or over the ones who believe in Christ. I love that hymn, One Day, by J. Wilbur Chapman. He wrote it, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day, he's coming. Oh, glorious day. The resurrection of Christ proves that his claims are true. The resurrection of Christ proves that his sacrifice was accepted. And then lastly, the resurrection of Christ proves that his offer of a new life is available now. Our forgiveness is now. We are forgiven now. Isn't that wonderful? Our being pardoned, our forgiveness of sins depends upon our believing. Paul and Silas are in the prison. It's about the midnight hour, and Paul looks over to Silas and says, let's start singing. And they begin singing hymns, lifting up Jesus. And all the other prisoners and all the prison guards heard them singing. And about the midnight hour, there became a tremendous earthquake that shook, and everybody was loose. Everything was in darkness. And the Philippian jailer pulled his sword, prepared to take his life because he was responsible for every inmate that was there. He's also concerned about what they were going to do to him. And Paul cried out, do thyself no harm and bring a light. And the Bible says that Philippian jailer came with the light and he fell on his knees and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said together, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's interesting to say, go down to the Baptist church and go join the church and get your name on the church membership. He didn't say, well, you know, you need to take the sacrament, you know, keep the sacraments, pray the rosary. He said, believe. You see, we're saved by faith. But we're not saved just by believing. It's the object of belief. He said, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal damnation. And saved to the glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, our forgiveness is now. Our pardon is now. And we must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at it again, would you? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein stand, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. What saves us? The gospel. If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. My friend, that and that alone is the gospel. Anything less or anything more is error polluted to the gospel. We see our forgiveness is now. Can I tell you this? Not only is forgiveness now, but the resurrection of Christ proves that his offer of new life is now available. Not only is our forgiveness now, but the power to live for Christ is now. I talk with people about their need for Christ, and sometimes they'll say to me, well, I can't do it right now. And I said, Christ died for you. He loves you. He wants to save you. What's prohibiting you from coming to Christ? Because he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, well, I just don't think I can live the Christian life. And I said, oh, you can't. You can't. Can he? And neither can I. And neither can we. But it's the power of God and the glorious power of the gospel that enables us to live the Christian life. You see, through the risen, living Christ, we've been given new power. John 1:12 says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Can you read that passage? Do you see what I see? He says that if we receive Christ, we've been given power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit to become the sons of God. He didn't say about joining the church or any sacrament. He says, to them that believe on his name. The Philippian jailer, I wonder what was running through his head. What have I got to do? Whatever I got to do, whatever hoops I have to jump through, I'll jump through them. I just want to be saved. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe. Believe on the name of the Son of God, and thou shalt be saved. Can I tell you this? Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according what? To the power that worketh in us. Brother, when you get saved, your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are endued from power on high to live in victory. You see, this power enables us to say no. To say no to sin. To say no to impurity. To say no to dishonesty. To say no to selfishness. How can we do that? Our Adamic nature is so strong. It's the nature of men to be selfish. What makes the difference? Jesus Christ makes the difference. This power enables us to say yes. To say yes to purity. To say yes to integrity. To say yes to loving obedience. To say yes to God. You see, 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power." That power comes from the Holy Spirit. "And of love." That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. "And of a sound mind." The sound mind is the principles of God's Word. You see, we have forgiveness now through Jesus Christ. We have power to live for God now. It's bothersome. It's confusing. And it's troublesome when people profess Christ as their Savior, but demonstrate no power of Christ in their life. We have the power now. We have the forgiveness now. And we have the resurrection later. See, the death of a loved one often crushes out of us the desire to live. When you lose a loved one, there's a numbness. There can be shock, there can be anger, there can be confusion. And even though we've known about it, even though we saw it coming, even though we were prepared for it, and I speak from my own testimony when I stood behind the casket of my father, the hollowness and the emptiness that I felt. No more to hear that familiar voice. But the hope we have is that we shall be raised. You see, Christ's resurrection is our guaranteed that all who have placed their trust and faith in Him will also be raised again to newness of life. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's pledge that He will raise us with new bodies. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14. "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power." I don't know about you, but I want to mark that in my Bible. That's a promise. That's a pledge from God. 1 Corinthians 15 says in verse 51 and 52, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Some of us are going to be raptured. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be great? I heard Dr. Lester Roloff say, "I've taken many airplane rides, but a day's going to come and I want to take a plane air ride." We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Some of us might feel pretty comfortable with ourselves, but I'll tell you something. We're nowhere where we need to be. We're nowhere where we're going to be when we get to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling, not a blinking of the eye, but the sun ray bouncing off the prison of the eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. Does the resurrection matter? Does the resurrection make any difference? Does it matter if we believe in the resurrection or not? Yes, it does. Because, see, the resurrection makes the difference between joy and sorrow. The resurrection makes the difference between life and death. The resurrection makes the difference between heaven and hell. The resurrection means that Jesus is truly the Son of God. He's who He said He was. The resurrection means that Christ's payment for our sins was accepted through the sacrificial death of His Son, Jesus Christ. And the resurrection means that we can each have new life in Him today. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Philippians 3:10 says, Paul cries out and says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Do you know this power? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven? I had a pastor friend who had lived a really rough life. He was a great preacher. God has used him. But he was a seedy, filthy sinner for many years of his life. He got saved late in life. And as salvation happens, that brings justification immediately. Glorification will come when we leave and shed this body and we see Him face to face and we shall be as He is. But God began to work sanctification, began to change him slowly, daily, by grace, into the image of Christ. And I was talking to him one day, and I said, what was the hardest thing when you first got saved? He said, man, I loved cigarettes. I loved them. He said, I would have dreams for 5 years that I'd sneak up behind the bus barn and smoke a cigarette. I loved them. I said, did you ever smoke one? He said, no. The power of God overcame those things. I was working with a dear brother years ago as an assistant pastor. We were working on a bus. He was working on it, and I was giving him tools, basically. And sometimes I got that wrong. It was a hot August day. He says, man, I'd love to have a big cold beer. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah. There's nothing better than a cold beer on a hot day like this. I said, you're kidding me. He says, oh, no. He said, don't worry. I'm not going to drink one. He said, but every once in a while, I like to have one. But the power of Christ that worketh in me gives me that strength not to yield to sin. Now, if you drink or if you smoke, I'm not trying to offend you, although the state of Tennessee calls it a sin tax. I think if the state says it, it's a sin, we should too. But understand this. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And do you have the evidence? Do you have the power to walk in victory that only comes from Him? It's not our character. It's not our ability. It's not our strength. We are weak. We can do nothing. But it's being in Christ where all the authority and power comes from. Have you truly received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Is heaven your home? Do you know that for sure? Listen, in heaven, the deaf will hear. And the hearing will be intelligent. I'll say that. In heaven, Spanish, we'll all speak Spanish in heaven. That's the heavenly tongue. Would you stand with me? I don't know what all heaven's going to be like, but I know this, I know this, I know this. I know I'm going there. I hope to go to my home today. I hope to have a good lunch with family and to celebrate the Resurrection Sunday. That's our plans. I hope to sleep tonight in my bed. But I don't know for sure that I'll do those things. A car accident, a heart attack, anything can happen. I believe I will, and I hope to do those things. But I tell you this, I know I'm going to heaven. And if you don't know that, you're living second class. Jesus wants you to know. Believe on the name of the Son of God, and thou shalt be saved. Father, Help us today. May we as Christians come this morning to the altar magnifying you and giving thanks for the victory you've passed to us on this day that we celebrate the Resurrection Sunday. And then, Lord, I pray for those who may struggle. Good people. People who are kind. People who help, is a great help to others. But they have this gnawing within of not knowing, not being sure, not being absolutely positive that they're going to heaven. Help them to come. Help them to come. Whether they're hearing or deaf or Spanish or English or whatever their situation may be, help them to come. Save the lost. And make those of us who have been saved from our sins rejoice and pay tribute to the King of Kings who made it possible. In thy name I pray. What is your need? Perhaps you should come this morning and ask God, what is your need? You come as the Lord leads you now. You